This is VK6ARN. News West is a WA-based club, and we continue to deliver news content to Sandgropers and beyond since 1931.
Good after evening, noon, and welcome to News West for Sunday the 12th of April 2026.
Hello, I'm David, VK6 Delta Sierra from the VK6 Activators Group, and I've got a couple of things I would like to let you know about. On Saturday, the 18th of April, it is World Amateur Radio Day. A special certificate will be issued to any amateur radio operator who activates a worldwide flora and fauna VKFF park on World Amateur Radio Day on Saturday, the 18th of April. All applications for the certificate to go via email to the VKFF National Coordinator at vkffaustralia@gmail.com. Please submit your logs in the normal manner via the relevant VKFF state representative. Silos on the air. On the 19th of April, why not join in on the adventure and try and activate a silo or two? They are scattered throughout the southwest of the state, ranging from as far north as Northampton, right through to Esperance in the south. If you can't get to the bush to activate, don't worry, there are at least six silos in the Perth metro area that have yet still to be activated for the first time. Have a look at the silo map at www.silosontheair.com to see if there is one near you. We would love to get some silo-to-silo contact, so have a go on the 19th of April. And don't forget about the POTA Support Your Parks weekend, April 18th and 19th. This happens seasonally on the third full weekend of the month, Saturday and Sunday UTC. These are activity weekends where the main purpose is to get out in the parks and have as much fun as possible. If you would like some more information, my contact detail is on QRZ. Look me up. Cheers, I'm David, VK6 Delta Sierra.
Hi everyone, this is Angelo, VK2NWT, WIA Affiliated Clubs Coordinator. However, today I'm wearing another one of my hats that says ARIS. ARIS stands for Amateur Radio on the International Space Station and provides students worldwide with an opportunity to experience the excitement of talking directly with a crew member on board the International Space Station. These contacts are used to inspire students to pursue an interest or a career in science, technology, engineering and maths, and engaging them with radio science technology by utilising amateur radio. I'm excited to announce that Scouts Australia Western Australia branch, Mount Hawthorne, have a scheduled contact with astronaut Jack Hathaway, KJ5NIV, on board the International Space Station this coming Friday, the 17th of April at 10:20 UTC or 18:20 hours local West Australian time. Audio from the scheduled contact will be available to listen to Australia-wide on the Echolink ham conference server via node number 95566 from around 5 to 10 minutes prior to the contact, which is expected to last around about 10 minutes. Immediately following the contact, John, VK3HJQ, will be taking your callbacks for reporting back to NASA. Aside from being an exciting contact for Scouts Western Australia and the amateur radio community, it's also an ideal opportunity for non-amateurs to observe just one of the many interesting facets of amateur radio. Now, I've been involved in arranging an ARIS contact some time ago with one of our local high schools in the town that I live in, and I can assure you that this is a very exciting experience for all involved. I'll be sending out detailed information about this contact to all Western Australian amateur radio clubs via email this weekend, which will detail the information in this segment, including details on how to apply for an ARIS contact for one of your local schools or youth organisations. In the meantime, if you have any questions about the event, please don't hesitate to contact me via email address clubs@nationaloffice.wia.org.au. This has been Angelo, VK2NWT for News West.
While I'm recording this on Friday morning, the WAG technical day tomorrow, now yesterday, had not occurred. We were up at Wireless Hill Park with the VHF group and the barbecues, and we had our second, what we hope to be, fairly regular hands-on technical working day. where we get our hands on WAG projects that are needing to be progressed, where we can invite members and friends who are interested in learning in a relaxed manner with this stuff and see how it all happens. I can only say that I hope yesterday was as successful as our recent first Tech Day at the Bayswater Sea Scouts. More on this hopefully in next week's news, as I probably recorded some interviews like we did at the first one. Moving forward, let's look at the calendar for WAG. The next technical and general net will be after this news this morning on 146.750 and the VK6 All-Star Hubs, starting at 10:30 local, or 02:30 Zulu, if you're into Zulu. If you're listening to the news in the evening or some other time, well, then it's next week. Now, the next meeting of WAG will be tomorrow night. This is at the First Pelican Point Sea Scout Hall, as usual. Remember, it's a fairly central location. If you live in the north, head south. If you live in the south, head north. If you live in the hills or along the river towards the east, head west. And if you live in the leafy western suburbs, well, lucky you, head east. To number 12, that's 12 Australia 2 Drive in Crawley. That's around the roundabout at Matilda Bay and down past the Yacht Club to that now infamous shrubbery hiding the entry right at the end on the left into the car park. So welcome, you're there. Doors open around 7 p.m. for a 7:30 p.m. start, and tea, coffee and refreshments are always available, as is the chance to chat with your favourite hams both before and after the meeting. If you cannot physically make the meeting and you are a member, go to the members page of the website, whiskeyalpharomeogolf.oscarromeogolf.alphauniform or warg.org.au, and then go to the members tab and then go to the protected members area, for which you will need the password. More on that in a second. Click the link halfway down the page to the online meetings. There you will go to the Google Meets link. If you find yourself looking at a Jitsi link, well, you needed the link above on the previous page. The only thing you will need, of course, to know is the password. And if you've forgotten it, being a member, if you've forgotten it, well, two things come to mind. One, if you remember what the correct question to ask, you can always search for the password. Or you may ask for a reminder, secretary@warg.org.au. We try to be online for 7:30. Sometimes Murphy gets in the way, but, you know, we're working hard to get the whole online. And generally speaking, we beat the technology and not the computer saying no, so have some patience and we don't start the meeting until we're online, so there you go. So if you can make the meeting, great. If you can't make the meeting, there's an online option. If you were at the Tech Day yesterday, wonderful. If you missed it, there will be another option coming up really soon, as this is something that WAG wants to do fairly regularly moving forward. If you were there, I hope you enjoyed your day with us and you learned something, and otherwise just generally had a good time. The Technic is coming up at 10:30, not just today, but each and every Sunday. And of course, the next meeting for April is tomorrow night. It's the second Monday of the month, but that's because of the Easter holiday. 7:30 p.m. See you there if you're coming. Be great to see you. The only other thing that WAG would like to remind you of is that it is now a new financial year, and we would love you to update your membership subscription, still only $25 for the year. And this can be done either in person or online through the membership portal, and for some people with an invoice by P.O. Box 425 in Cannington. With that, it's good day from me, it's good day from WAG, 7-3s from VK6. RRG.
This is NewsWest from VK6 ARN, produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
The April edition of RASA's QTC magazine was published this weekend, again with interesting and informative stories. This coming Wednesday, 15th of April, is the 114th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. Did you know that there's a link between the Titanic disaster and amateur radio? The story's in QTC. Last month we talked about the artificial intelligence in amateur radio, and this month we have a follow-up with feedback from some people and a surprising response from AI itself. When's the last time you performed an inspection or any maintenance of your mast or tower? Mumble, mumble, mumble. Yeah, I thought so. QTC has an article reminding you of what to look for with your tower maintenance. Rob Wagner, VK3BVW, submitted a very interesting article called Strong Signals, No Decodes, Auroral Flutter and the Bouvet Australia FT8 Puzzle. That sounds rather bulky as a title, but it's a great article. You'll enjoy reading it. There's also a report on RASA's display at the recent Trains and Hobbies show in Victoria, and all of our usual features. QTC is produced monthly by a team of volunteers and can be viewed on screen or downloaded. Visit vkradioamateurs.org, which is the RASA website, vkradioamateurs.org, all in one big long word, vkradioamateurs.org. And I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Hi, I'm Steve Kennedy, VK6SJ, with the third episode of Did You Know? Did you know that the WIA runs its DX award scheme and leaderboard online from its website at wia.org.au? Easiest way to find more details is to Google WIA DX Awards. The mainstay of the DX award scheme is the time-honoured WIA version of the DXCC award. DXCC is an acronym for Long Distance Sentry Club. In its most basic form, the DXCC award is an award for contacting and gaining a QSL card, either physically or electronically, from at least 100 different DXCC entities. A DXCC entity is a country, or if the country has parts that are separated by more than 500 kilometres, a country may have more than one DXCC entity. An example of this is Christmas Island and Cocos Keeling Islands. These are both a part of Australia, but are separate DXCC entities for the purpose of the award. Other examples include East and West Malaysia and Greece and the island of Crete. Before digital communications, DXCC was much harder to get and was probably valued higher than now. However, the challenge now is to go beyond the first 100 countries and gain DXCC awards on multiple bands or with multiple modes. From a band perspective, there's an award for each single band you attain DXCC with, as well as 3, 5, 7 and 9 band awards. For modes, there are phone, that is that quite old mode that the old timers used to use with a microphone, CW, that's Morse code, and data modes. Data modes can be FT8, PSK31, RTTY or any of the myriad of digital modes around. A couple of years ago, the WIA also introduced the triple play category, where a country is only counted when you've confirmed it on SSB, CW and a data mode. Whilst the first 100 countries is much easier to attain now, there's no doubt that the highest levels, including the honour roll, which is an award for working all but two or three of every entity, are still great and often lifelong endeavours. I managed to work my first 100 countries, but not quite get them all confirmed in my first 12 months as a ham, but it did cost me a year of school that I had to repeat because the DXCC was more attractive than Year 11. In addition to the DXCC awards, there are also awards for working grid squares, working the Antarctic, all VK call areas on HF and VHF, and working all continents. To claim an award, you used to need to carefully keep all your QSL cards, mark off in your paper log each contact confirmed, then provide a separate log of each entry used for your award, have someone sign off on the fact that you actually have the cards and send it by snail mail to the WIA. It would then go to the awards committee, who occasionally would gather to evaluate applications, ask for actual proof if they saw fit, and then you would receive your award in the mail. My first DXCC award, gained after about 30 years in the hobby, took around 12 months from sending off my application to receiving the award. I had to send about 4 cards to the committee with a stamped addressed return envelope to check. Thankfully now, we upload our logbooks to the WIA awards site, then follow a simple process of checking logs against Log of the World and EQSL, and for hard copy cards show a fellow WIA member registered for the award scheme my cards and they hop online and tick them off. the process for applying for an award once you've attained the level you needed takes 1 to 3 days and is largely automated with some manual oversight from the committee. As an adjunct to the award scheme, the WIA also maintains annual challenges called the DX and the group leaderboards. These programs use exactly the same process for submission of logs and verification of contacts. In fact, if you don't tick the box to opt out of the leaderboard, you automatically go on the leaderboard when you submit logs for DX awards. The DX leaderboard is an annual challenge that pits individual operators against each other to work the most number of entities on the most number of bands and modes, including triple play, in a given year. There's also a category for the most grid squares worked. The categories are further broken down into an open category, a category for standard and foundation licenses, and a third category for foundation license operators only. The top 30 operators are displayed on a table on the WIA website, and the results are automatically calculated as soon as anyone uploads a log. I have to say, this challenge is a bit addictive. To run at the top of the ladder, you need a good station, a lot of time, a lot of tenacity, and operator skill on all three mode groups. Having said that, the top standard and foundation entrants last year were both VK6s, as was the outright winner, and the most grid squares worked category is something almost anyone can compete in, even with a very modest station. The group leaderboard is a category where anyone can form a category and anyone can join that category. The most popular of these by far is the club leaderboard. As part of your registration on the scheme, you can nominate the club you're a member of, only one per participant, and all individual scores are also added together to form a club challenge. Last year, and I think the year before also, our very own Bunbury Radio Club won this award with a significant margin on the runner-up. So, how do we sign up for this bucket of fun? Firstly, you must be a member of the WIA. Not such a bad thing. You get access to the QSL Bureau, you get a Cool magazine every 2 months, and you contribute to the National Voice for the hobby. And if that wasn't enough, you can watch jelly wrestling between WIA and RASA, but we don't talk about that here. If joining the WIA is not for you, the AERRL also has a DXCC award scheme, which is just as sought after, if not more so. It was the first award scheme. And Clublog also runs a leaderboard program that's also very popular and very similar in style, but not sponsored by your favourite ham business in Perth. So go on, join a WIA, upload your logs occasionally, get your club enthusiastic about it, get the coolest wallpaper available for your shack and make some noise.
This is VK6ARN and you're listening to News West.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. How do you make a hole? That's a pretty straightforward kind of question. And by the time this sentence is finished, there's going to be at least as many answers as people who considered it. I didn't supply any parameters to this hole, so answers could include shovels, collapsing space, fire, a drill, or any number of other interesting approaches. If I narrowed it down to, say, a hole in wood, there'd still be plenty of options. Specifying the type of wood, the diameter, and other parameters would further narrow down the selection of methods. What if I asked you, how do you decode FM? You might wonder if there's more than one way, and I can assure you, just like with making a hole, there's plenty of ways to go about achieving this, even if I limit this to software implementations only. I must confess, when I recently set out to test my SOAPy SDR library notions using a GNU radio flow graph to listen to FM radio, I searched the documentation, found a beginner's tutorial, and used the information there to make my first proof-of-concept FM receiver. I put it on GitHub and went about my business. After finally managing to hear the decode effort and being less than impressed, I started trying to understand the tutorial flow graph. When I started looking at what would be needed to decode stereo FM broadcast radio, I discovered that there were several tutorials, examples, and videos with slightly or significantly different solutions to the problem. That's on top of the over a dozen standard FM-related blocks supplied within GNU Radio. I then set about trying to discover the canonical implementation of an FM receiver, and came up short. Instead, I discovered even more implementations of FM receivers, each subtly different. You should know that there's a difference between how your local hit radio station does FM and how an amateur radio repeater does FM, let alone the local CB radio channels, satellite telemetry, wireless microphones, or even hearing aids. So, within the implementation of an FM receiver, there's additional complexity, which explains to some extent the variety of FM-related blocks within GNU Radio. I think ultimately it's safe to say that there's an unlimited supply of implementations of an FM receiver within GNU Radio. It led me to ask, what is the, for want of a better word, right way, and what does that actually mean? In GNU Radio, you string together blocks that process a signal. If you're familiar with flowcharts, the process is very similar. Unlike flowcharts on a piece of paper, in GNU Radio, or should I say GNU Radio Companion, the tool you use to actually design flow graphs, the little blocks represent underlying software, and their connections represent how data flows between these bits of software. In other words, each block represents a series of programming instructions that process data and pass it on. It means that the more blocks you have in your flow graph, the more instructions are running to process data. The more instructions, the more computing resources required. This is significant because in a complex system like this, we're likely to be doing more than one thing at a time. So preserving resources is important, if only to ensure that there's time available to process the next sample. As a result, there's a difference between implementing an FM receiver with 2 blocks or with 10 blocks. You might conclude that 2 blocks is more efficient, but that might not be true. For example, 2 blocks processing 2,000 samples per second each are processing 4,000 samples per second in total. A block that converts the 2,000 samples into 200 samples, followed by 9 blocks processing 200 samples per second each, is processing 3,800 samples in total. All things being equal, the 10 blocks together are handling less data per second. So overall, it's potentially using less resources. I say potentially because it might be that one of those blocks is using a massive calculation, consuming more resources than all the other blocks put together. Ultimately, each block is software, so whatever it's doing is using resources. So, how would you go about choosing between 2 implementations or algorithms? Which was the better one, and how is better defined? My first pass at this is to use standard testing files and use the algorithms under consideration to process them. Run the tests multiple times, keep a record of how long they take, and then attempt to measure how much the original input signal differs from the processed output signal. At the moment, I have no idea how you might compare signals, other than to invert one and combine them to see if they cancel each other out, which means that they're the same, or not, which means that they're different. For my sins, in trying to think of a way to do this, I realized that the way I implement this radio contraption needs to be able to deal with test files and potentially multiple different implementations of a decoder. It also means that I have some more thinking to do. Ideally, there needs to be a concept of meta information, like the radio source, the tuned frequency, the bandwidth, gain, and likely more, so I can set the parameters once and reuse these across whatever else is part of the flow graph. It should be possible to use a test file just as simply as a SOAPI SDR-compatible radio. It should also be possible to hear the audio, or save it to a file, or decode an embedded signal, or all at the same time. In other words, it needs to be flexible. Luckily, GNU Radio is really a collection of libraries built specifically for this task. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the matter. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.
Good morning, once again, listeners. Roy VK6X-Ray Victor. I'll be very quick this morning. No new items, but if you would like to contact me, vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. I will endeavour to get your request dispatched next week. Thank you once again, 7-3.
And that's the news for Sunday, the 12th of April, 2026. Don't forget the Support Your Parks weekend is next Saturday and Sunday. Get out and enjoy activating in a park, or just visit the website poda.app to see who else is out there. Thank you to the regular contributors. This news production happens each week because you take the time to record your article. If you've not heard from your club in a while, let us know what your club's doing in a quick update. If you do not want to record it yourself, send it to us at newswest@vk6.net and we will record it for you. Thank you to those who put the news to air each week and to you, the listeners. Please stand by now for callbacks. If you've never called back for one reason or other, please take this opportunity to have a go. We would all like to hear your call. If you listen via podcast or download via the website, please take a minute or two to register at vk6.net, as the growing number of registrations encourages us to keep up production. For now, this is Darren, VK6EK73.